Thanks, Hannah. It's good to be back with you this morning at Alma Church. I had a beautiful drive across from Surrey this morning, but sadly there was ice on the windscreen when I started my journey. Hadn't banked on that. The seasons, they are a-changing, as they say. It's been a beautiful late summer, hasn't it? It's a privilege to be here, and it's always a privilege to speak from this book, the Bible. It just is. And it's worth acknowledging that as we move on this morning. These are not just words on a page, are they? This is not just another book on our shelves. This is the personal communication of the one who made all things. That's what it is, and this morning he is going to be speaking to us. And our topic this morning, perhaps I've changed that last word to fit in with a subconscious love of chocolate, I don't know. Work, rest, and play, which is a very fitting conclusion to a series I think you've been having here on work. What comes to your mind? We've had a hint already, haven't we? When you hear those three words, work, rest, and play. Maybe it is the Mars bar. I don't know if that's a current jingle anymore. I'm not going to sing it, but a Mars a day helps you. Work, rest, and play. Maybe it's this guy, actually. You're thinking work, rest, and play. Because 10 days or so ago, Richard Branson launched a new unlimited holiday policy for his employees at Virgin. Did you catch that headline? Perhaps you're thinking now, I wish he was my boss. Well, it's just worth reading a small print. I won't go into that. But that was Branson's headline. And it's no surprise it grabbed the headlines, is it? I mean, holidays, time off. Rest. We're into that stuff, aren't we? That's interesting to us. It's important to us. So it grabbed the headlines, but our aim this morning here together is to think Christianly about this important topic. Work, rest, and play. What does God have to say about this vital topic for us in the Bible? I want us to start in perhaps an unusual place, and apologies for the PowerPoint. Projectors vary, sunlight varies church to church, just an incentive to sit near the front, all right? But apologies if you can't read it too clearly. Let's start with this. God expects us to be busy. And the reason I start here is because I know that as soon as I start talking about rest and leisure, guilt is going to kick in for some of us. Oh no, I'm too busy. Or maybe you are. Maybe you're not. Because you see, if you're a Christian, if you're a believer in Jesus, then God expects us to be devoted to him and devote time developing a relationship with him. And if this morning we are married, well, God expects us to love our husband, to love our wife, and to invest time in that relationship too. And if we're a parent, you guessed it, God would expect us to devote time to do all we can to bring up our sons, our daughters in a godly way. That takes time, doesn't it? I've got a 3-year-old son. That takes a lot of time. Maybe we're at the stage of life where the tables have turned a little bit and God calls us to be faithful in caring for our parents. That takes time, doesn't it? As Christians, let's go on. God assumes that a priority in our lives will be this. It will be meeting with other believers in Jesus. We'll take time out to worship God, as we've been doing, to study the Bible together, to pray together, to encourage each other. It all takes time. God has given each of us, as Christians, spiritual gifts, and he expects us to spend time developing those gifts and serving one another with those gifts. That takes time. And the list gets longer, doesn't it? But as you've been learning, God also calls us to be very conscientious and dedicated in our workplace. And we know that takes a lot of time. Whether that is in the traditional employment workplace or whether that's at home or school or college. And on we could go. But the point is, God expects you and me to be busy. It's not wrong to be busy. Don't feel guilty this morning if you are a busy person. So the question is, how do you know if you are too busy? I think the answer to that is, you know you're too busy when one of these God-given priority demands on our time is being neglected. And one of those areas may well be rest. Because, secondly, God calls us, he expects us to rest. And that's our big theme this morning. And God's given us an example to follow. Turn with me to Genesis and chapter 2. Right at the start of our Bibles. Genesis chapter 2. All the references are coming up on the screen if you are privileged enough to see them and be able to read them. And we're going to be jumping around a little bit as we handle this important theme. Genesis 2, verses 1 to 3. This is at the end of the creation account, and this is what we read. Genesis 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating he had done. Isn't that interesting? God himself rested. What does that mean? Well, it can't mean it was tiredness kicking in, can it? I mean, we're talking about God here. He doesn't need to rest. It can't mean inactivity, that after 6 days' hard work, God kind of sat back and put his feet up. Inactivity. It can't mean that, because God was still sustaining everything in his universe. But in some sense, after 6 days, God takes a step back and he's able to enjoy everything that he's already made. And here is God setting a pattern. That's the big thing to notice. Here is God setting a rhythm for humanity. 6 days he works, one day he rests. There's a time to work hard, and there is a time to rest. I can't see that screen. My eyes must be suffering, so we could go all over the place here. Where are we going on the screen? But God sets a pattern. There's a time to work, a time to rest. And God's got a purpose for rest, a beautiful purpose. Here's a reference I hadn't quite noticed before. In Exodus 31 and verse 17, it says this, don't worry turning there. It says, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested, and get this, and was refreshed. Isn't that beautiful? He rested and was refreshed. So straight away we know one of God's purposes in time to rest is that we are refreshed. So firstly, God gives us an example to follow. Secondly, God gives us a command to obey. Let's turn forward, next book of the Bible, to Exodus chapter 20, where we start bumping into lots of commands, don't we, that God has given. Exodus 20. Let's jump in at verse 8, the fourth commandment. The fourth commandment, how does it read? Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Pretty clear, isn't it? In the fourth commandment, the Sabbath command, that the seventh day is set apart. It's different. It is distinct. It is, the word is there, holy. Now, what does that mean? Well, holy does not necessarily mean dressing up in your Sunday best and sitting around in solemn silence all day while all your friends are out having lots and lots of fun. So in what sense is the seventh day holy? In what sense is it to be different? Well, the simple answer in Exodus is, well, no work. It's a holy day. It's literally a holiday for physical rest. There's the fourth commandment. Now, some of us might be thinking straight away, right, well, that's Old Testament. That is the law of God, the commands. But, hey, we've just been celebrating that Jesus came and he died to put us right with God. There's nothing we need to do now to get into relationship with him. He's fulfilled all of the law, all of the commands for us. So surely the Sabbath command is irrelevant, isn't it? Well, just notice back in Exodus the basis for this command. Notice it is rooted in God himself and in creation. God himself, he rested 6 days and he rested for one day. So we're called to follow God's example. It's an example in creation before the fall. The ideal, God's pattern of work and then rest, it does still apply to us. It's worth noticing that. Notice also, just in his Exodus reference, that time off, rest, is never to be seen as a selfish thing. Hey, I've got time now to use just as I want to use it. What's the language used of the Sabbath? Well, it's a Sabbath to the Lord. We'll come back to that in a minute, but don't start thinking selfishly about time off. Which brings us to the book of Deuteronomy. You see, God gave the law, and then 40 years later, just before his people were about to enter the promised land, Moses took that law of God and he explained it to the people. He preached 3 sermons about the law. And what's very, very interesting is that he highlights the Sabbath again. But what is different, it seems to be, what is different is the reason Moses gives now for why they should obey the Sabbath. So Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12 and following. Deuteronomy 12. Just turn forward 2 books of the Bible if you're not so familiar with your Bibles. So here are the commands again, 40 years later. Verse 12 says, "Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you." Down to verse 15. What's the reason? Verse 15. "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord has Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath." Isn't that interesting? Same command, observe the Sabbath. What's the reason? Well, now they're not called so much to remember that God rested, but now they're called to remember that God rescued you. Take time out to remember the rescue, Moses says. So from those Exodus references and the Deuteronomy references, we're learning that rest has a physical element. It is time away from labor and work. But it's also got a very strong spiritual element. We need time to remember the God who has rescued us. And we need both elements of rest. So here's a question to think about. When we have time off and we have time to rest, I wonder, what are your aims for that time? It's quite a probing question, isn't it? Are you thinking physical rest primarily? Or are you thinking spiritual rest and renewal? Because God says we need time for both. I'll come back to that in a moment as well. Let's continue thinking about this big idea that God calls us, he expects us to rest. Very briefly, it's worth just noticing. Get to the New Testament And Jesus took time to rest. That's quite striking that throughout his extraordinarily busy years of ministry, both teaching and healing, the incredible demands that we know were on the Son of God as he walked our planet, he found time to rest. Well, he didn't just find time, he made time to rest and retreat. So Mark chapter 6, verse 45 and following, says that Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on the land. Jesus took time to rest. If he needed to do that, you can be sure you and I need to as well. Notice too, Jesus encouraged his disciples to rest as well. Same chapter, just back up a few verses, verse 30, Mark 6, verse 30. We read there that the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Striking. So it seems that God draws a boundary to every type of work, even the work of serving Jesus, sharing the gospel, helping people with their physical, practical needs. Jesus took the disciples away from people and he said, "Take some time to rest." And we need to do the same. Final thought on this section. Very significantly, Jesus, one of the things he said was this. He said that true, real rest is found in him. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." We could spend all morning thinking about that statement. But isn't it striking? If you want to know real, true rest, you can't without Jesus. Rest involves coming back into the relationship that God made us for, a relationship with him, the relationship that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus is the only way back. That's what we've been remembering this morning. He is the rescuer. And so he is able to say, "Come to me and I will give you rest." We mustn't miss that element of rest. So where have we got to? Well, God expects us to be busy. We've got to start there. But then he also calls us to rest. He set an example, he's given us a command, and when he came to planet Earth, he lived that example too. Well, now for the very, very practical bit. God expects us to use our rest time wisely. I imagine we're all aware that we are accountable to God for how we live our lives. The New Testament has a verse which says this. It says, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Honor the one who paid for you, who died for you. We can extend the principle rightly, biblically. Honor God not just with your bodies. Honor God with your wallets, with your resources. Honor God with your time. God's given you 24 hours a day. Be wise stewards of this gift of time that God's given you, whether you are working or whether you are resting. And this is what C.S. Lewis said about rest and leisure. Very helpful. He said, our leisure, even our play, is a matter of serious concern. There is no neutral ground in the universe. Every square inch, every split second is claimed by God and counterclaimed by the devil. It is a serious matter to choose wholesome recreations. So this is serious stuff. God's saying it. C.S. Lewis is saying it. Well, what does that mean for us this week? Let me just put a few questions to you now, and they're going to raise issues. I'm not going to answer all the issues. We've got coffee afterwards, which will be excellent to have that time. A few questions. Number one, as you think about your rest time recently, has it been recreational? In other words, does your rest time allow God to renew you physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually? Is it recreational? Because that's God's plan. Let's make it more concrete. Let me get personal. If I'm honest, I love to watch a movie. I love to get a box set out and watch one or two episodes when I'm feeling exhausted. But if I'm very honest, after two or three episodes, I'm left feeling more zombified than I was before I put it on. Is that the right use of rest for me? Is that recreational? What about holiday times? A week away, 2 weeks away from work. 2 weeks. Plenty of Exodus 20, time away from work, physical rest. But what about my soul being restored, my soul being renewed? If I'm brutally honest, in my experience, holiday times can be pretty barren times spiritually, unless I am very careful and unless I'm very intentional about it. What is it that truly restores us? What is it that truly renews our hearts? Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. Psalm 19, the law of the Lord, his word is perfect, reviving the soul. Fellowship with other Christians, studying the Bible. We leave those times encouraged, don't we? Refreshed. It sends us back to the world, our work, just with a fresh focus and perspective, and we're renewed. So first question, is our rest time truly recreational? Because that is God's design for rest. Second question, and these are challenging, really challenging questions. Is your rest time selfish? Has it become indulgent? Because very, very easily I notice that it does for me. And it's not surprising, is it? Because our society, our world is characterized by two key philosophies. Number one, hedonism, which is love of pleasure. Number two, narcissism, which is love of me, love of self. So put those two things together, and we're living in a world, a society, which is intent on maximizing pleasure for self, for me. And if we're not careful, we just follow the world, and our use of free time, whenever we can grab it, just becomes indulgent. It's about me. So we make plans for our free time. It goes in the diary first, and all the other negotiables have to fit around what I want to do in my rest time. And if we're not careful, before we know it, our rest time has become an idol. So imagine you're driving home after a very long, busy day at work, and you're tired, and you know you've got a free evening ahead of you. And the football's on. I mean, this is my example. And you're driving home and you're thinking, you know what? I would just love to kick back, put the match on, and rest. And that kind of desire for that kind of rest is absolutely fine. I think that is a neutral desire. That's okay. But as I continue driving, something strange happens. And that desire to watch the match kind of morphs. It changes. And before long, it becomes a need. You know, actually, I need to watch that match. I'm so tired. I can't go back tomorrow unless I've watched the match. I need it. And as I approach my house, it's become, I don't just need it, I must. I must watch that match. And what happens? I open the door, and there is my wife, there is my child, and they need serious help and support and attention. Now what happens? What do I do about me time, my time, rest time? What do I do about the football match? Perhaps you can relate to that. That's tough, isn't it? It's hard. Yes, we need rest, but God's called me to love my wife. God's called me to care for my children. God's called us to be part of church, and on we could go. This concept of me time, my time, we've got to be careful with it, haven't we? Met a lady at a church recently who said these words to me. My husband needs 3 hours of cave time when he gets home from work. My husband needs 3 hours of cave time. Now, I happen to know her husband, and I know that means he needs 3 hours of computer games. We need to be very careful, don't we, how we use our rest times, because becoming a Christian, putting our trust in Jesus, means at the very center of our lives, the reason for living has changed. Who are we living for now? We're not living for self and my desires, our desires. We're living now for the one who gave himself for us and his priorities. Is our rest time becoming selfish and indulgent? Did you know that if you fit the statistical averages, if you live to 70 years of age, you will spend 8 years of your rest time watching television? I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. I enjoy watching some TV. 8 years. It only takes 72 hours, I'm told, to read the Bible from beginning to end out loud. It raises some pretty uncomfortable questions, doesn't it? Which of my God-given responsibilities suffer as a result of me being selfish with my rest time? How could my wife benefit? How could my family benefit? How could the church benefit? How could the world around me benefit if I use my free time, my rest time, more wisely? Time is racing. In this category of using rest time wisely, is it becoming selfish and indulgent? It's worth thinking about retirement. I don't think I've ever heard that mentioned in church before, in terms of in a talk and Bible open. It fits rest time, doesn't it? Is our view of retirement cultural? Or is it Christian? Just raise it, really, for conversation. So society says you paid your dues for 40 years, now it's time for you for 5, 10, 20, 30 years, 40, to kick back and just live for yourself and do what you want to do. Is that Christian? Or is retirement the time when actually the real dreams begin? I've now got time for what God calls me, bigger stuff, to do. I love playing golf, I really do. But is retirement just for honing your golf swing? There's so much to be done, isn't there? So little time. Is our rest time selfish? Is it indulgent? Is our rest time legalistic? Again, just a comment. Do we see obeying the Sabbath as some way of ticking the box and building up some brownie points with God, or becoming more spiritual? Or like the Pharisees, are we trying to say for everybody else, hey, that's work, or you shouldn't be playing or resting in that way? Is it becoming legalistic? Finally, We had to end here, didn't we? Is your rest time almost non-existent? I guess now we're coming into the category of being a workaholic. And if somebody asked us, are we a workaholic? Probably we would say no. But it's interesting, with Alcoholics Anonymous, often people need convincing that actually they are an alcoholic. And what they do with them is they get them to write down, to calculate the total number of drinks they've had over 1 week, over 2 weeks, and suddenly it dawns on them. And if we did that with work, if we opened our diary and honestly did a tally, totaled up how many hours we work on average per week, what's the pattern that's developing? What's your pattern of life? What's your pattern of work? What's your pattern of study? Is it 7 days a week? Are you someone who really, really struggles to take time off? And if you are, why is that? What are some of the reasons? I think it's very probing, doesn't it? Are we seeking our identity in work? Are we seeking our significance, our value, our self-esteem in work? That's a danger, because that's where society is at, isn't it? What's the solution? I think the solution is to go back to the beginning and to Genesis. You see, the seventh day is not just the end of the week. Actually, it was the end goal of creation. The seventh day was what everything was pointing to and heading to. The 6 days of creation, the world that God created, that is not the point of it all. The final purpose is the seventh day, God's rest. I mean, you get a picture of what that looks like in Eden. Adam and Eve in beautiful relationship with their maker and enjoying perfect relationships with one another. And then that points you to the promised land that Israel went into, the land of rest, of bounty, of plenty and blessing. But ultimately it points us to Jesus, who said, I will give you rest. And it points, of course, to a future eternity spent with him, enjoying him. So as people who call ourselves Christians, as people who belong to Jesus, life now is not ultimately about this world, this creation. It's about Jesus, and it's about the next world. Actually, ultimately, that's where we're heading. We're journeying to heaven. So in this coming week, our satisfaction, ultimately, our meaning this coming week, God does not want us to find those things in this world, but in his Son, in who we are in Christ, in heaven. And if we find ourselves, and it's a danger, isn't it, working 7 days a week and close to 52 weeks per year, the question is, well, really, honestly, what are we living for? So rest. Work, rest, and play. Taking time out, hope we've seen this morning, it's just as much part of God's calling on our lives as work is. Physical rest, mental, emotional, spiritual rest. We need it. Hasn't God been good to give us time to rest? God rested, he commands us to rest. And exactly how we spend our rest time, I think, is an issue of freedom for the Christian. But the big questions to ask, we've seen, are these. Am I being wise? Am I honouring God? Am I fulfilling my other God-given responsibilities? Is my rest time renewing me? Am I missing the whole point of life? Big questions. Let's pray for God's help, shall we? Lord, thank you so much for the Bible, your word to us. Thank you for the relevance of it. It's alive. Lord, you've spoken to us again this morning. Thank you for the way that your word just challenges our thinking and realigns our thinking with yours. And we've needed that this morning in different ways. Thank you for the gift of rest. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness in giving us space to be renewed physically and emotionally and spiritually. As our Maker, you know we need that. Thank you for encouraging us just by having this time out to be together this morning. It's been good to sing your praises. It's been good to get the Bible out. It's good just to be with other Christians. As we enter the new week, we simply pray you'd help us to honour you with how we use this gift of time you've given us. Lord, help us to work hard this week to honour you in our work. But Lord, please help us to rest well. Help us to be wise in all the ways we've thought about this morning. Over coffee, help us just to spur each other on in how we might rest more wisely. We need your help. Thank you. Your spirit and your grace is sufficient, and they go with us into this week. And we give you our praise in your name. Amen. Anything I've shared has struck a chord with you, you'd like to chat further, do come and grab me after the service. There's people available to pray, I believe, as well. Do take that opportunity to be encouraged in that way. God bless you.